So this morning, I'm going to think about something a little bit different that maybe we don't talk about all that often. So hopefully you'll hear something and take something away from it. I do quite a lot of assemblies in schools, and one of the things that I've talked about recently is emotions. And Tiva, I may need some help here. So I don't know if anybody's seen a film called Inside Out. Any hands up? Have you seen Inside Out? You have seen Inside Out. Okay. So in Inside Out, there are a number of characters that represent emotions. And there's five of them. Do you know what this character's called?
Joy.
Joy. So this is Joy. This is Joy, who is very joyful and a very fun-loving character. And the second character, do you know who that is?
Sadness.
This is Sadness. Now, sadness is very sad, gets very emotional, cries a lot, but is, quite a fun character, isn't she, in the end? Do we know who this one is?
Anger.
Anger. This is Anger. Now, Anger is one of those characters that's a bit odd, because Anger loses his cool quite a lot in the film. He's quite a fun character to watch, but every once in a while, he starts shouting and screaming at people. So, yeah. Anger is an interesting one. And now this one. Fear. Now, fear is a fun character because fear panics at everything. If fear sees his own shadow, he panics and runs, but is a good character. And then the final one.
Disgust.
Disgust doesn't like anything and rolls its nose up when it sees something it doesn't like. Now, those, thank you. Do you want to sit down for a moment? Thank you very much. A little round of applause for my assistant there. Well done. So those are the five characters in Inside Out. And in the story, in typical Disney fashion, the character learns to deal with their emotions and to control them in a better way. Now, the reason I'm sort of sharing that, I want to share that this morning, is that the Bible doesn't overlook emotions. It doesn't overlook the emotional side of our humanity. In fact, Jesus was a man with some really powerful emotions. He wasn't afraid to express how he was feeling in different situations. He was a man that could weep in sorrow, be strong in anger, and yet experience the fullness of joy. Maybe it's easier to see Jesus as God made flesh and to forget about his humanity. But Jesus was anything but an emotionally frozen Messiah. Jesus felt emotions in a very strong way. The early church struggled with this sometimes. In the days of the early church, there were a number of heresies, things that people kind of added onto Christianity that were deemed to be false doctrine. And one of them was something called docetism. And that was the belief that Jesus only seemed to be human, but never gave up his divine nature. And there was a council in 451 AD that Jesus declared Jesus was fully God and fully human. So it was almost easier to imagine Jesus as God, but not as a human being who suffered, who felt pain and emotion. But actually, I think that's something that's really important for us, to just be aware of those emotions and how they affect us, but actually that Jesus experienced them as well. And so this morning, I'm just going to think through a couple of those emotions. We probably won't have time to go through all of them, but I'm hoping just to touch upon a few of them. So that first emotion is probably the easiest one to get our heads around, because most of us have experienced joy at some point. Now, I've certainly experienced joy in my life, sometimes in a deeper way, sometimes in a more superficial way. I think back to playing football a couple of weeks ago, and I play football most weeks, normally up against some people that are a bit younger than me now. And I had this moment where I was on the halfway line, and I kid you not, I kicked the ball up twice, and then I volleyed it straight into the back of the net. And as I looked around, all my teammates clapped. There was a moment there where I thought, do you know what, I'm living the dream here. I've actually, yeah, Rolling back the years, I think they call it. Anyway. So yeah, that for me was a moment of great joy. Now, I'm sure that you can think of some times in your life when you've experienced joy. And hopefully sometimes for deeper reasons than scoring a good goal at football. But the Bible speaks to us of joy. But it speaks about a joy that comes from a deeper place. A joy that isn't quite so superficial. A joy that's not reliant on the things that go around us. A joy that comes from God himself. Chapter 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. What does that mean? Quite simply, it means that as we rejoice in God, we find strength in his joy. The joy of the Lord becomes our strength as we spend time with him, as we worship him. We experience that joy, a joy that is deeper than our circumstance. Things around us may be going crazy. We may be struggling at work. We may have difficulties with illness or suffering or something that's going on we are really struggling with and struggling to find a peace and a joy with. God's joy comes from a deeper place. It comes from God himself. When I was looking into this idea of joy, one of the things that I hadn't quite realised is that God is a joyful God. That might sound kind of obvious, but as we find God, we find joy. Augustine said, to reach God is to reach happiness itself. And as we spend time with God, because of his joy, because of who he is, that joy becomes our joy, it becomes our strength. It helps us to deal with those situations in life where things aren't going as we would like, where we're looking at that tapestry of life and we're thinking, this doesn't make sense. That's when we need to reach out to God and actually say, I need your joy, I need your strength. Because of myself, it's not enough. Our joy can be so short-lived sometimes and so affected by circumstances, which is why we need to look to somebody beyond us to get God's joy in our life. A joy that goes beyond our understanding. A joy that's not based on who we are and the circumstances that we're experiencing. Jesus was joyful. Jesus, as many times in the scriptures, when he showed joy. You read in Luke 10, verse 21. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, praised God. And the context here was that the 72 had been sent out into the wider community. And they'd come back seeing God at work, doing miraculous things through them. And Jesus had seen Satan fall like lightning from the sky. And at that point it says, Jesus, full of joy. Jesus was joyful. He was a fun person to be around. He himself was joyful. Are we known as a people of joy? Are we known as people who share God's joy with other people? I think sometimes as Christians, we can quite easily kind of be a bit, not so happy with things. But if people are looking at us and saying, well, if you're a Christian, what does that mean? Is God's joy in our heart that when we meet other people, that kind of comes out of us, that we share that, that other people kind of go, ah, he's a Christian, he's a happy person, he's got something else about him. That's God's joy coming out of us. Are we open to God's joy being in our hearts and being able to share that with other people? Jesus was full of joy. The people that came to him saw that. They wanted to be with him. You think of the number of people that he had dinner with, the number of people that came to him, that they saw something in him. God's joy was deep in Jesus. Do we know that joy for ourselves? Do we experience that joy for ourselves? If we don't, then maybe, and I speak to myself as well, we need to spend more time with him and actually experience some of that joy that God gives to us in our own lives. second emotion, sadness. This is a strange one. I think it's one that at times I've struggled with in my own life. Being able to actually not just feel emotion, but sadness as an emotion, to get upset, to cry. I think there's a thing that's sort of spoken over men in particular, that real men don't cry. And that's led to so many people being bound up and struggling emotionally because they think, how do I express myself? I can't cry. I'm not allowed to do that. Well, sadness is an emotion that we've all been given. And it's an emotion that's good to express. I remember once, many, many moons ago, my pet dog, Jenny, a lovely family pet, and she had to be put to sleep. And I was, I was at the time, 10, 11, 12, something like that. And I was really struggling to deal with that and to, to express my emotions. And I remember speaking to my mum about it. And she said, when Jenny was put to sleep, your dad cried. I was like, really? And actually, knowing that my dad had cried in that situation really helped me because it meant, well, I can get upset as well. That's okay. I'm allowed to cry at the loss of my pet dog. But sadness is one of these things that we do think, is that an emotion that I'm allowed to feel? Well, yes. One of the shortest but most powerful verses in Scripture comes from John chapter 11, verse 35. Very simple, yeah. Jesus wept. Two very short words, a very short verse, but actually it contains so much within that. What is the context of that story? Well, Jesus has been travelling and words got to him that his friend Lazarus has died. And Jesus is told about this. He delays going back to Lazarus's home. He delays it by 4 days in the end. And by the time that he gets there, Mary and Martha are beside themselves. And they say, well, if you'd have been here, he would have been okay. If you'd have been here, my brother, you could have done something. And Jesus, what does he do? He weeps. He comes alongside them. He doesn't just say, ah, you daft women, do you know what I'm going to do in 10 minutes' time? I'm going to call him out of the gravestone and he's going to be raised to life and it'll all be okay. No, he doesn't do that. He's filled with compassion for them. He comes alongside them. He grieves with them. He weeps with them. He saw the suffering of those around him. He saw the suffering that pain, the suffering of death, what it caused. And he cared about Mary and Martha. He was with them. He stood with them. He was empathetic to their loss. And he grieved with them. He mourned alongside them. He cried. Jesus wept. It's quite amazing when you think about it. Actually, that's okay for us guys to cry, to get upset. Jesus did. Jesus was okay to share his emotions. He was okay to mourn. I wonder if there's another reason that Jesus maybe got upset as well. Maybe he saw something in Lazarus that foreshadowed what was going to happen to him. Because he knew that soon he was going to be going to the cross at Calvary. He knew that soon he would be on that cross. He would be dying to take our sins upon himself. And that he would be in a tomb and raised to life again. And maybe something of that weight on his shoulders came out then as well. As you saw in Lazarus, a foreshadowing of what he was going to go through. We experience pain and suffering in this world, we experience sadness and grief. And it's okay to express that emotion, to show that. But actually, through Jesus' death on that cross, what he's enabled to happen is that one day, every tear will be wiped away and every suffering will be taken away. Revelation 21 verse 4 encourages us in the hope that he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. We know that this world has its fair share of troubles and tribulations. We go through it and we lose people. We have difficulties ourselves. Things where you think, that's not fair, God. That's really hurting. Because of what Jesus did on that cross. Because he took that sin upon himself. He's made a way for us to not only come into a relationship with God the Father, but actually we have that future hope that one day every tear will be wiped away, every sickness healed. The former things would have passed away. And that's the future hope that we have. But while we're on planet Earth, it's okay to feel those emotions. It's okay to feel sadness. Jesus wept. And I think that's a good example for us all. Now my third emotion is an interesting one. And for this, I'm going to do a small game, if that's okay. Tiva, do you want to come and give me a hand? And you're going to need to give me... I'm going to need one more volunteer who doesn't mind doing something a bit daft. Do I have another volunteer, anyone? I do need two people, because I've got to have a game. A bit of a race here. Oh, God. Right. Now, without making a mess anywhere, okay? Okay, there's not to be any mess here. So, what I want you to do is to squeeze this toothpaste tube out onto the plate. Okay, so stand up. So it's a race. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're going to see who manages to get the toothpaste out of the tube first, okay? And I think Tiva might manage to win this, but we'll see. So from the bottom, so, right, get a bit closer to it. Okay, are you... You might want to put it on the chair, just in case it goes all over the floor. Okay. Okay, so, on your marks, get set, go! Well, Tiva's doing very well at this, isn't she? Yep. Your toothpaste skills are quite good. Here we go. Yep, you're doing well there. Almost all out there. Well done. How are we doing over here?
Oh, you're baiting me.
Oh, I think we've got a winner over here. Yeah, look at this. Very skillful child here. Well, yeah, very impressed. Well done. I think we've got a winner here. Do you want to just...
You've got loads left.
Oh, my goodness, mate. How much toothpaste is in that tube? Yeah, I know. Excellent. Is that all out there, Tiva? That is amazing. Just wait there. Hang on. There we go. Look at that. Well done. Very impressed. How are we doing over there?
Hang on.
You've still got something?
Yeah.
You're still going?
Yeah.
You don't go anymore? Yeah, you are. You're nearly done there. Okay. I think we've got a winner here. Well done. Okay. Now, for the second part of the game, I need you to put the toothpaste back in the tube again. Do you think you can do that?
No.
Oh, you need to have a go at least.
I need a bit of scissors.
You need some scissors.
Yeah.
I've got any scissors. I've got a bit of paper. That might help. All right, come on. Let's have a go. Let's see if we can put this toothpaste back in the tube, shall we? I'm not sure it works. Let's have a go, shall we?
Sure.
Might need a straw.
I was going to cut the...
It's not going back in very easily, is it? How are you getting on over there? We're having a good go over here. Look at this. Ooh.
It's going to take a while.
I think we might have a winner over here. Is it going back in over there? No. All right. Okay, I think we might leave it at that point. Thank you so much for your willingness to squirt toothpaste everywhere. That's it. Perfect. All right, a round of applause for my willing volunteers. Thank you very much. Now, that toothpaste, that came out quite easily, didn't it? I thought it would. Putting it back in again, not quite so straightforward. Why did I do that? Other than it just is a bit silly, really. Quite good fun, hopefully. Well, I'm thinking about anger. And anger is one of these really strange emotions that we all get and can be really quite powerful. Anger in of itself isn't wrong, but it can lead to wrong things. The Bible speaks of anger, three different types of anger. Divine anger, where God sees injustice in the world and gets angry with it. There's righteous human anger, when we see things that we think that's not right and actually causes us to want to do something and act and to bring change. That's anger that can be channeled for good. But there's also unrighteous human anger, bad anger, anger that leads to sin. Anger when we kind of go, I'm going to get that person. Sort of anger that you might experience when you're coming up to the Daly's Road roundabout and somebody cuts you up and you go, I'm going to follow that person all the way home. And then, no, I wouldn't do that really. But that's not good anger. That's bad anger. And anger is one of these things that it kind of explodes sometimes. And that's when it becomes unhelpful. Now, this toothpaste isn't going back into this toothpaste tube very easily, is it? And anger's a bit like that. When it explodes, when we let that anger out, it's quite difficult to take it back again, isn't it? Can't really take those words back or those actions back because they're out there. And it's like the anger's kind of splurged over everyone. It doesn't go back into the tube very easily. So let's be careful with our anger. Anger is something that can be used for good. If we channel it correctly, we can speak out against injustices. We can speak out for those who haven't got a voice. It can be used in a powerful and good way. But all too easily, anger can become something very destructive and very negative that hurts those around us. And once it's out there, once that's exploded, a bit like that toothpaste tube, it doesn't go back in very easily. Did Jesus experience anger? Yes, he did. Number of experience of points in the scriptures where Jesus got angry. Luke 19, verse 46. He went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, "It is written, my house is a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves." Jesus drove the people out of the temple, the people that were ripping off those coming into the temple, the people that were making a profit at their expense. Jesus got angry with them and drove them out of the temple. That was anger being used in a good way to bring about positive change. He got angry with the Pharisees at times when they said, "You can't heal on the Sabbath." And Mark 3, verse 5, it says, "He looked around them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, and he healed the man with a shriveled hand on the Sabbath." So Jesus did get angry, but he directed it in the right way. It was anger that was used for good in a positive way. Anger, where it turns to sin, is not so good. Ephesians 4, 26, Paul explains the relationship between anger and sin. "In your anger, do not sin." And then in verse 27, "And do not give the devil a foothold." So if we find ourselves getting angry with each other, getting angry with spouses or with children who maybe have done something that wasn't quite so helpful, but we've kind of lost the rag with them a bit and the anger's come out there, Paul reminds us not to let the sun go down on that anger, to say sorry to each other, to not give the devil a foothold. What happens if you don't say sorry to each other? If you let it fester? Well, the argument keeps going. And you know, I've seen how families end up splitting because neither person will say sorry. And the sun's gone down on the anger and it just keeps festering. So if we've been in a situation where that anger has exploded, let's be quick to say sorry to each other. Let's be quick to make up with those around us, friends and family. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let Satan get a foothold. And a train of thought that I had as I was thinking about anger was, is it okay to get angry with God? And looking through the Psalms, and the Psalms of David, and some of the ways that David expresses himself, and says, God, where are you? My God, why have you forsaken me? In Psalm 22. I think actually David expressed himself in that way many times. Jesus, when he was hanging on that cross, used Psalm 22. He himself said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I think sometimes when we go through the journey of life and we come up against struggles and difficulties and things that don't go away, I think it's okay to go to God and go, I don't get this. Why have you done this? Why have you let this happen to me? God's big enough to take on board those questions and those hurts and those difficulties. He says, yeah, come talk to me. And sometimes I think we kind of back away and we think, oh no, better not do that. But example of David is, he wrote many of those psalms from a place of hurt and despair and anger. And they're in our scriptures as an example to us. So when we're going through this journey of life and we're experiencing all these different emotions that we have, let's remember the example of Jesus. He felt emotions. If you want to use the phrase, the man's man, well, he was a man's man. But actually, he was joyful. He got upset. He was sad. He showed that emotion. And he wasn't afraid to speak out when things weren't going as they should have done, when those around him were acting in a way that was hurting others. Let's look to God for his joy in our hearts. The joy of the Lord is our strength. It's not dependent on what is around us, but it's far deeper than that. Let's ask God to give us his joy again. It's okay to cry. Too many men are bound up with this idea that real men don't cry. But actually, God's given us emotions and emotions to feel. Jesus wept. So let's be able to be free in who we are and our emotions. And anger. Let's be careful with anger. Let's not let it lead to sin. If our anger's exploded and the toothpaste tube, it's gone everywhere, let's hold short accounts with each other and say sorry. Don't let the sun go down on that anger, on that sin. But also, it's okay to come to God and say, I don't get it. I don't understand what the situation is about. He welcomes that conversation. He wants to hear from us. He knows it all anyway. But let's not be afraid to come to him when things aren't going quite as we would want them to. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for your promise to us. Thank you for that hope that one day you'll wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. Thank you for that promise of that future that you give to us. Thank you that you're with us now, Lord, that you give us joy, that you give us emotions that we can experience your love more. Would you go with us, I pray. We would know your peace and your blessing and your joy. In Jesus' name, amen.